What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning into the Local Crown Podcast, where we're going to teach you how to wage war on your competition and earn your local crown, also known as the top spot on Google.
What is up, Local Crown entrepreneurs? I am here with Jesus Eddie Campa today, and he has an incredible history that I'm super excited to share with you. I am really pumped to hear him talk about it today, so I'm going to hand it over to you, Eddie. Why don't you tell us about your history, what you've been doing in the past, and what you do today?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. First of all, thanks for having me on the show, and I'd like to thank your audience for listening. And so my name is Jesus Eddie Campa. Everybody calls me Eddie. Spent 27 years in the law enforcement field. Was chief of police twice, a state director for a law enforcement agency in Oklahoma. Right now, I am currently the owner of America's Best Strategic Security Group and Leading Through Adversity. America's Best Strategic Security Group is a strategic security consulting firm, and we just added a component out of executive searches. I'm also a professor at the University of Texas at El Paso, as well as I'll be graduating with a PhD here in hopefully by May if my dissertation gets approved. Other than that, just moving forward, helping people lead through adversity and just moving forward with our other businesses.
Great. Yeah. Congrats on your PhD. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So when you're talking about like strategic strategy and stuff like that, like what does that all entail? Why don't you like dig more into that?
Yeah. So, you know, the one thing is that, you know, there's an old saying that if you fail to plan, you've already failed. Yeah. So when you have a strategy, you know, it's basically, you know, it's like playing chess, and that's the way wars are won and everything. You have to have a strategy. How are we going to get from point A to point B? Everybody says it's a straight line, but every entrepreneur out there knows that there is no such thing as a straight line in entrepreneurship. If you're an entrepreneur, it's a lot of downtime. Not downtime, but a lot of bad times, because you're spending money and bleeding money all the time trying to get your business up and running, and then a few peaks, right? So when you have that strategy of how you're going to get from point A to point B is the perfect example of strategy. So you always have a plan A, a plan B. You know, there's an old saying that says never have a plan B, because if you have a plan B, it means you're already ready to fail, because you're looking at, well, how am I going to succeed? But if you don't have a plan B, you can't stay afloat with plan A, because there's always going to be lives and curves. Just the way life happens. So, yeah. So, you know, strategy is very important in everything you do, from hiring, especially in security and law enforcement. You know, when you're dealing with law enforcement or security issues, you have to understand, you know, how are you going to deal with the threat, whether it's internal or external, whether it's a hard target or a soft target. You have to have some kind of strategy as to how you're going to approach it. And that's the most important thing as far as strategy goes.
Awesome. Yeah. I bet you learned a ton about that in your law history of being in the law and stuff. How does that like apply to what you're doing today and just like learning how to be a leader and everything like that in those law enforcement jobs?
Yeah. So, you know, I was fortunate enough to be one of the lucky ones that moved up the ranks pretty quickly at a young age. And, you know, I've been a chief of police twice. You know, I was a chief deputy of a fairly large law sheriff's office. And then I became a state director. So I've got a lot of experience in dealing with the different types of municipalities. And just by trial and error, you know, I mean, that's just like everything else. You know, the bad thing about leadership, and that's why we created Leading Through Adversity, which is another one of our companies, is that when you become a leader, there's no book that says, here, this is the way leadership works. There's a lot of theories and concepts, a lot of books that say this is the way it works, this is the way it should work, yada, yada, yada. But there's no real experience or actual understanding of leadership until you're actually doing it, because there's a lot of trial and error. And as you're going through leadership and you're growing as a leader, that's how you're learning. You're learning through failure, you know?
Yeah, awesome. So when you're learning, so as you became a leader and you started kind of mastering it and you got, you know, your two big leadership positions, then you started going into leading through adversity. So like, what kind of led you through leading through adversity? What adversities were you experiencing?
Well, as a chief of police, you have a lot of adversities. You know, you're basically the face of the organization. You're in charge of the organization, and you have a lot of masters you have to please. As the chief of police, you have to please the city manager, the mayor, city council, the citizens of your community, the police officers, the police union, state law, federal law, local law, municipal law. So you're kind of like this. So I'll, of course, it's nothing simple that everything lines up, because everything contradicts everything. You know, the police officers, you know, for example, this is just a generic term, you know, police officers want a pay raise, but city council doesn't want a pay raise. Half the community doesn't want their taxes raised, the other taxes want. So then you become that scapegoat. You become the person that everybody blames for everything. Well, it's your fault. And all this adversity comes, and you know, you start getting on the blogs. They start putting your, you know, bashing you on Facebook and social media and things like that. So you have to understand how to deal with that adversity, you know, because you don't become a leader through adversity. You become a leader of how you deal with adversity. So, you know, and that's part of the strategic plan. So it all kind of ties in together.
Yeah. So what do you recommend for like leading through this adversity? I mean, what kind of things do you use?
Well, the one thing that we use and the one thing that we preach is always doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Now, this sounds funny because sometimes the right thing to do is not the popular thing to do. And that's usually the most of the cases. You never take shortcuts and you always do what's best for the mission to accomplish the mission. And sometimes, unfortunately, you know, a true leader will understand and knows that there's always going to be some sort of collateral damage, unfortunately, in leadership. And that's why you're placed in those leadership positions, because you have to make those decisions as to what collateral damage you're willing to accept and how much collateral damage is acceptable. I mean, if you look at every president that's ever spoken, anytime we go to a war or have some kind of terrorist attack, you always know going in that you're going to have some kind of loss. Mm-hmm. But you have to have a strategy to minimize that loss.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So what do you recommend when someone is kind of determining these collateral damage little like explosions in their business and stuff? How do you recommend they kind of diffuse those fires with people?
Communication. I mean, communication is key. If you have an open dialogue, and you got to remember, the day that you think that you're the smartest individual in the room is the day you need to switch occupations. Mm-hmm. Okay. As a leader, you should always be learning from everybody and everything. So just because something you think it's the right thing to do because it's the right thing to do, you know, just because you think it's the right thing to do doesn't necessarily mean it is the right thing to do. So you should kind of get viewpoints from different aspects and everybody to see how things are going. And this way you just learn through that adversity. You learn and you build on other people's knowledge. You are also showing those people that you as the leader are vested in them because you believe in them and you're helping them grow as well.
Interesting. Yeah. So if you kind of just talk to them, build them up, and kind of tell them the mission and, you know, give them, okay, like, I know you don't like this, but this is what it's going to get us to our end goal. And I just need you to kind of get through it.
Right. It's always important to communicate the end result. You know, look, we're going to do this because of this. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to get here. Now, there's going to be some bumps and ups and downs that you're not going to like. Now, if you can give me a plan to lessen that blow, let me hear it. If you're just going to complain about it, then I don't want to hear it. This is the way we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. But as long as you have that open communication and you get people to buy in, and you have to have a clear vision, and you have to be able to explain that vision of to what you're doing and why you're doing it and convince those people. And that's what great leaders do. They're able to convince people to follow them because there's a vision that leader can see, not necessarily that everybody else can.
Exactly. So when you are thinking about that vision and you are, I guess you're set into your mission, how do you recommend people kind of display that vision? Because it's really hard for people to, I guess, give the people that are following them that same vision. So like, do you just think that's good storytelling, good communication? Like, how do they pass that vision on?
It's a little bit of everything. You have to be able to be a good storyteller. You have to be able to have open and good communication skills. You have to have the ability to, from the moment that you became that leader, to have been able to have some kind of charisma that's going to get people to buy into you. Not everybody's going to buy into you. You got to remember that as a leader. You know, it's funny because I've always been accused of you know, being that leader that well, not everybody likes you. Well, that's good. That means I'm doing my job, because if everybody liked me, that means I'm giving in to everybody. And that's never how it should be. Mm-hmm. So by having that open communication, that open dialogue, being able to tell a story. And when you tell a story, you have to be able to tell that story as if you were telling it to a fifth grader or a fourth grader, to mm-hmm. be able to paint and draw the vision of how it is now and how it's going to be and how it benefits them. So a lot of it is just, again, it's just that communication aspect part of it as to how you're going to relay the message of what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. So I've got a question on when you have people that don't buy into your story, when you don't have them and you're having to be a leader and you really do want to care about them as a person, help them grow, help them move forward, but they're just really not buying in. How do you have that conversation and how do you move about when knowing when to drop someone off your team? Because that can be hard too.
Oh, absolutely. That's a very difficult situation. And that's why, you know, you've been chosen as the leader, because you're that person that can make those decisions, right? So a lot of the times when you can't get somebody to buy into them, you know, you bring those people in and you don't chastise them in front of everybody. You bring them in private and say, okay, what is it about this goal that you don't understand or that you don't like or you cannot see? What is it? And you listen to them, you hear them out and see what the point is. And I can guarantee you that 99% of the time, they're going to just tell you, well, I just don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I don't. Because we've never done it that way. Well, the one thing you learn in law enforcement really quick, and it's like this in any field, because now that I'm in the private sector, I see it as well. There's two things that people hate. One is the way things are. And the other one is change. So what is the end result of that? Everything stays the same, right? So a lot of those people, when you bring them in and you try to communicate to them what's going on and how you try to draw that picture and they're just blocked, then that's when you offer them the option. You say, look, so you've got two choices. Mm-hmm. This is where we're going. This is where we need to go. This is where the mission says we're going. You have two choices. One, you come along and help us get there, or you can leave. Mm-hmm. And that's just the reality of life. I mean, that's one of those collateral damages that we talk about. Yeah. You know, and when you talk about that collateral damage, it's, is it time for you to retire? Is it time for you to find employment somewhere else? Can we move you to a different team that has a different thing? But when you're a team, when you're a corporation or an agency or an organization, it's usually the plan is for the entire organization. So if you can't buy into this one aspect, because this one aspect is just one spoke of that wheel that's going to build the organization into a better thing. So even if you just move them around, they're never going to see that picture. So a lot of the times you have to make that decision, and it is hard. And a lot of that's done through communication. And you just tell those individuals that, hey, you know what, we can't do this. And it's better, it's in your best interest, you know, to leave the organization at this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, you don't want to hold them back either. They should go.
Do absolutely not.
You know,
yeah, absolutely not. I mean, if they have a grander and bigger picture somewhere else, maybe they're best suited in another organization that has those same visions and values. But, you know, usually a lot of the times when you're dealing with strategical changes, those changes are coming from the top. They're either coming from a CEO, or if you're in the public sector, they're coming from a city manager or a mayor, and they're the ones funneling the information down to you as to where they want you to take the organization.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the hardest part, you know?
Yeah.
But a lot of times it's just, like you said, you don't want to hold these people back, but they need to make a conscious decision of, is this the right fit for me, or am I better suited somewhere else?
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure if you think about it, you know, when they do have to leave and they go find whatever they really want to do and they can buy into, they're probably more grateful they got fired at the end of the day than if they would have stayed at a company and like ruined the inside, you know, structure of it just because they were miserable.
Right.
So do you see that being like, as a leader, you have to build a certain culture, a certain, you know, mental game plan for everybody, and like keeping that culture? How do you go through hard times and maintain that, I guess, everybody's in this together thought mentality?
Yeah. And that's one of the, that's the million dollar question. How do you do it? Well, let me tell you, I have led you know, several organizations and agencies, and you're never going to get in 100% buy-in. You're not. It's just impossible. Okay. So you try to get as many people to buy in, and then you try to get those people to get, you know, if I can get you to buy into my vision, then hopefully you're going to be able to convince your buddy at work of that vision and so on and so on. So you're kind of hoping that snowball effect goes into place, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times I've actually led an organization where half the organization was on my side and half the organization was against everything we wanted to do because this wasn't the way we had planned it out. Well, yeah. we over here, you're not in charge. Mm-hmm. We over here has the guy that's in charge who has the instructions from the governor to do this. And these people have bought into it. So you had this. And yeah. you had a lot of sabotaging and a lot of issues going on. And like I said, at that time, that's when you have to make that conscious decision of saying, look, it's time for you to go. You know, either you buy in or you go. And when you're dealing with culture, because that's one of the things that I don't know if it's fortunately or unfortunate for me, being a minority, I have been brought in different organizations to change the culture. Well, okay. When you're that minority coming into a culture where you're still the minority and you're being told to change the culture, it kind of looks like you're trying to force your culture onto their culture and you're clashing.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you have to make sure that you have this open communication and dialogue and be able to paint that picture of how diversity is inclusive of all. Doesn't mean that the minority wants to become the majority, and doesn't mean that the majority is going to stay the majority or majorities, you know. So it's a very fine line of balance. And this is why you're finding a lot of leaders, especially in the law enforcement field. Did you know that the law enforcement field right now, as a chief of police, their life expectancy at an organization is 1 to 2 years? That's not a lot of time for a chief to be able to make a difference. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years to change a culture. I mean, look at the United States. We can't change our culture. We can't get out of our own way because we still have these beliefs that came from our founding fathers. And we refuse to change the way things are. And they stay the same and then they get worse. But we can't seem to get to that, you know, that top of the mountain where everything is harmonious. You know, it just... So, you know, leadership is a very hard thing to do. And honestly, you know, not to make this political, you can see it on both sides, both parties. You can see that the quality of our leadership on both parties is lacking, because if those are the best choices we had to lead our country on either side of the party, it's like a billion people in the United States, and we can't find anything more qualified than this.
So how do you actually, that's like a good point, is how do we actually, I think a lot of things is like people don't even think about that we should be picking our leaders. How do we, you know, make that switch to, I think, taking emotion out of it and just making the right decision on someone who's really gonna like do the right thing, or, you know, is set up for the mission, not set up for, you know, just saying what we like to hear. How do we kind of separate ourselves from that to get a better leader?
Well, you know, and that's the hard part. So for instance, in the public sector, you know, for instance, one of the things that our company does is we do executive searches. So we're in the middle of a executive search for a police chief in Minnesota. You've got city management that wants a police chief like this. And then you have the department that wants a police chief that's like this. And then you want the community that wants a police chief that's like this. And you're like, and then your instructions are from city management is we want cohesiveness and we want everybody to agree. Mm-hmm. You're like, you guys are so far off.
Yeah.
How do you want me to build cohesiveness? You know, and again, it just comes back down to the communication, sitting down at the table, saying, what can you live with? What can you live with? What can you live with? What are the absolute no's? And you just try to narrow that scope and try to bring everybody into at least a semi-straight line. Mm-hmm. And then work on that. But it's hard. I mean, and that's the funny thing is that people out there are always looking for a unicorn. They want the perfect fit, and people need to understand that, they need to understand that you're never going to find perfection. Perfection doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in anything. So as a leader, you really need to convince everybody that, you know, perfection is not an option. It's what can we live with and do the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, I think, the main problem is we don't all just sit down and have a good conversation. You know, it's also so heated, or, you know, we can't just talk about things without pulling in emotions, which I think is a big, you know, a big side, like, to business and everything. You have to kind of go off. These are the facts. This is what we have to do. And this is what's right to do. And that's hard to combine.
Right. Absolutely. And that's the hardest thing is trying to find that middle ground, because we've gotten so used, we live in our society has become so used to not finding that middle ground. It's either my way or the highway. And that's why I say, you know, right now, when you talk about the political spectrum, our leadership, who pretty much sets the example for all of us, you know, from the top, you know, CEO, the president, and the way the government works, they set the way things are going to go around the country, right? And when they can't even agree on anything and they can't sit down and talk and find that middle ground, how do you expect everybody else to?
Yeah. Because you do. Yeah. And a leader shouldn't ask everyone else to do something they're not even willing to do, you know?
Exactly.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I just have like a question that I like to ask everyone, but sure. As like a thing you could tell everybody that's starting out right now, or not even, or just in the middle of their business and struggling, or even leading through adversity currently, what is the main tip you could give your audience?
Yeah. You know, learn to be resilient. Don't ever give up. You know, if it's funny, because I've got a son, who in all honesty has never failed at anything. Mm-hmm. He never has. And we're having this conversation, and I made a comment, and he says, "Well, it's a good thing I don't know anything about failure." And I said, "Well, that's not a good thing, son." And I said, "Because when you fail, that's when you learn. That's when learning happens. You know, and every time you fail, that means you're one step closer to success." And I said, "And unfortunately, son, you know, you're 16 years old, and you're right. Everything you've ever touched has turned into gold. You know, your grades, your school, the school you're in, everything you're going for. You know, playing football, everything. Yeah." I said, "And to say you've never failed, that's incorrect, because your football team has lost a few games. So you failed to win, and you were really upset about it, and this and that, you know, so through every failure, every failure just puts you one step closer to success. And you got to look at it. Don't look at it as, oh, I failed. I can't anymore. If you really want something and you can see that vision and you can see it grow. Now, here's the thing. There's a difference between a dream and a vision. You know, are you sitting there dreaming, oh, if I could do this, I can have millions, or I can do this and I can do that? Or do you have a vision and say, if I stay on course this year, I can get here. Next year, I can be here. And in 10 years from now, this business will be a franchise worth millions and millions of dollars. Do you have that plan? If you don't have that plan, then it's a dream. Mm-hmm. You know, so just don't ever give up. Always have a plan, have a strategic plan, and just move forward.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I never even thought about that, like a dream versus a vision and like your planning. That's so crucial. So I know you have a book out, and I know that there's tons of ways to find you. So would you like to just tell everybody real quick how to get to you, like go read your book, maybe speak to what your book's about real quick?
Yeah, it's called Unmasking Leadership, What They Don't Tell You. A lot of people ask me, what does that mean? It means kind of like what I started off with. You know, when I first moved up in the leadership level, nobody ever told me what to expect. Everybody's like, oh, you're the boss. You make the decisions. You get to do this. You get to do that. Well, it wasn't all about that. You know, leadership is a very hard road. And a lot of people think that they know what leadership is. And that's what's wrong with our country nowadays, is that everybody thinks that a good leader is that leader that's going to benefit them. If it benefits me, then he's a great leader or she's a great leader. But the minute you stop benefiting me, you're a terrible person. You're a horrible leader. How dare you? How dare you hold me accountable? How dare you tell me no? Mm-hmm. And in that book, it kind of describes all of the things that you're going to go through. talk about leading through adversity, because nobody prepares you for that. You know, nobody prepares you for the fact that you all of a sudden you're going to have tons of friends, but they're not really your friends because they just want to see what they can get from you. And then those people that used to be your friends no longer want to talk to you because they don't want to give you the impression that they want something from you. So you're kind of lonely at the top, yeah. You know, and what is true leadership? Well, true leadership is like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder. You know, you and I might agree that this person's a great leader. You may say he's a great leader. I may say, no, she's a better leader. And we're never going to agree, because it's in the eye of the beholder. So you got to understand that you're never going to make everybody happy. And it just goes into the theories and the concepts. It talks about a lot of leaders today, they have this fear of upsetting people. Well, it's okay to upset people. You know, it's okay to be a leader. You're not going to keep everybody happy. And it just gives you the aspects of how to deal with it. And a lot of talks about a lot of communication and identifying your leadership trait. And you can find that book at on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. You can find it at my website, JesusEddieCampa.com or leadingthroughadversity.com.
Awesome. And then is that also ways to find just about you?
Oh, yeah. If you go through, you know, if you go through my website, JesusEddieCampa.com, you'll even see, I'm a big foodie, as you can tell. So I like to post all my food. I have a one section that just talks about food. I love food. Awesome. And then talks about my speaking engagements and my career and everything that we're doing and moving forward with.
Great. Yeah, I'm sure a ton of people will want to follow up and see all that. I'm a foodie as well, so I will be there. Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, thank you so much. I am excited to read your book and everything, because I think that's awesome that people, you know, you talk about the hard part of leadership. You know, it's, everyone wants to make it glorified, but it's truly hard. And yeah, I bet we can learn tons from that. So.
Yeah, I've been asked many times, you know, why did you become a leader? And I said, well, I became a leader because I thought it was all about the glory and the fame.
Yeah.
And then I quickly realized that it was almost like a living hell instead.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. I hear that. It's true. It's not all sunshines and rainbows all the time, right?
No.
Awesome.
Especially with today's social media presence.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that does change the aspect of things a lot, you know, like just, There's a lot of people putting out information instantly that they don't even have to think about. So, well, thank you so much again today. And I appreciate all of our time. And if you guys want to tune into this, the next episode, I will see you then. And Eddie, thank you so much for coming on today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you learned something. If you have questions, email us at info@thelocalcrown.com. And if you want to get featured in our publication, Inside the Empire, alongside John Lee Dumas, the Entrepreneur on Fire, Jason Waller, the CEO of Power Home Solar, Sharon Lecter, Dan Caldwell, the man that started Tap Out, and the limitless man himself, Jim Quick, for free, then head over to thelocalcrown.com/become a contributor.